This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Junks. We're coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and, of course, on NBC Sports Washington.
Presented by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Sports Junkies and home of the five-star technician, online at CropMetcalf.com.
Yep, that's straight from the mouth of one of their stars of television advertisements, Eric Bickle.
You know what? We're due for another commercial.
Yes, you are.
Someone's texting in. Maybe they know the story better than I do. They said that on the cruise ship, the grandfather was letting the kid kind of play on the glass panels that, you know, were looking outside of the ship.
Okay.
And she kept going down the panel. Now, I don't know if this is true. He's just texting this. And there was a panel missing.
Oh.
And so when she went to push on that, what she thought was a panel, that's when she fell off. That's what he's saying. I'm not sure if that's true. I didn't follow the story closely.
If that's true, they could sue the cruise ship for $1 billion, right?
Yeah. That's what it sounds like, if that's the way it played out.
Yeah, Travi, could you follow up on that? I want to find out.
That is unbelievable.
That's exactly what happened.
I don't want to hear. That's terrible.
You know what? You can pivot and entertain us.
The
entertainment
try.
Page is brought to you by our friends at Second Chance Addiction Care, an outpatient drug and alcohol addiction center that has already helped several Junks listeners, online at secondchancecare.com.
All right, boys, always like to start off Monday with the box office report. The Lion King took care of business cakes, did $185 million. I don't know who wants to see that. Did $39,000 per screen.
That is a hefty take.
Just took care of business.
Hold on, did you just say you don't know who wants
yeah,
to see the Lion King?
Did you just say who wants to see that?
I
mean, you're talking, first
like
of all.
Is it like a remake?
It is a remake. It's like a live-action remake.
Who would want to see that?
But the original is probably one of the most beloved like Disney movies.
Right, do you want to see it?
I don't necessarily
right,
want to see it. But
my
wife,
point.
Here's the dynamic. My wife wants to see it. So I'll probably see it.
Oh.
I'm probably going to take my nephew who's staying with us for the week because my brother's about to have a baby, or his wife's about to have a baby later this week.
Right.
He'll probably go see it. Hence the big haul.
Oh,
that's what happens.
Can't you make your wife take your nephew and then you stay at home? You
go, I mean, I could do
guard
that.
The fort at home.
Guard the fort? What am I guarding the fort from?
Well, you got to protect it.
Are there hordes of invaders that I don't know about?
Potentially. It's better than going to that movie. But The Lion King did $185 million, just staggering to me.
Mm-hmm.
Zero interest. Spider-Man Far From Home did another $21 million, but $164 million behind The Lion King. Toy Story 4 did another $14 million. Man, Toy Story 4 did so far has made $375 million just domestically.
And that's considered a disappointment.
Crazy.
That's considered somewhat light. For the Toy Story franchise.
Crazy. Crawl.
What did Crawl do? We need to know this for the yes-no men.
Did $6 million so far. It's made $23 million.
Perfect. On a budget of what?
$13.5 million.
Oh, that's such a hit.
Big winner.
That's such a hit for us.
And then yesterday, rounds out the top five, did $5 million so far. It's made $57 million. What's yesterday about? Anybody
it's
remember?
About the dude who wakes up. And
then there's no Beatles.
Everyone forgot about the Beatles.
Yes.
Oh, and he plays this hit.
And he becomes
a
superstar.
Right. This next story.
Apparently, it's pretty good.
This next story, it might
I saw
kill
it.
You. But
did you like it?
I gave it 3.75 crab claws.
That's okay, my rating.
All right, so not horrible.
It's not horrible. It's very entertaining.
Oh, okay.
This next story might tilt you, Jason, but it stars and features our own Kevin McCarthy. Kevin kind of going viral over the weekend because I'm going to let him set it up for you. But basically, he's being credited for reuniting Ben Affleck with Kevin Smith, the director, the old friends that hadn't worked or really been in contact with each other in years. And Kevin...
What was the movie they worked on together?
Was Jay and Silent Bob originally?
Jay and Silent Bob.
Did they do Chasing Amy together?
Oh,
was
Chasing Amy?
Clerks? He wasn't in Clerks. I don't think he was in Clerks. I could be wrong. You know what? Kevin can
Kevin will know. But Kevin was kind of the key guy into how this whole reunion thing came about. Kev, what's up?
Good morning, guys. Can you guys hear me okay? I'm in London.
Yeah,
Kevin's in London. What time is it in London? I have no idea.
Yes, Richie, we can hear you.
What time is it?
Unfortunately.
It is currently 1:08 p.m. Well, Jason, before we get to the story, I always update Jason on my travel schedule. This is probably the most insane travel I've ever done for a movie in my life. So I took off last night. I landed in London today, and I'm here for the Fast and Furious Hobbs and Shaw junket. So Hobbs and Shaw is
so
The
dumb.
Rock and Jason Statham.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of these Fast and Furious movies. So basically what the deal is, they wanted to divide up the junket into the Shaw portion and the Hobbs portion. So the Shaw portion is in London. So I'll see the movie tonight, and then I'll interview Vanessa Kirby, Idris Elba, and Jason Statham tomorrow. Then Wednesday, I'll fly from London to Hawaii for the Hobbs portion of it. And the Hobbs portion will be The Rock, Roman Reigns, and Cliff Curtis. And that's all going to – I'm going to be in the air for 40 hours, I think, for 6 days total. It's insane.
Well, that tells
it is
me.
Absolutely insane. I don't know how I'm
– It tells me they're expecting to make boatloads of money for this movie. Obviously, the Fast and Furious franchise. If they're doing two premieres, one in London and one Hawaii.
Does Fox 5 ever give you a hard time about all this travel? I mean, you're never even around.
No, so what I do, Eric, is I'm live every day that I'm gone. So, for example, I'm live all morning. Right now, I'm in between live shots. So my first one was 6:50, and then I'll be back on at 8:50 and 10:30. And then every day that I'm gone, I'm live, or I send back an interview. So it's the same thing as me physically being there. Yeah.
Gotcha. Oh, what a pain in the ass. All right, so give Jason the scoop. All of a sudden, I see Kevin Smith, like, Instagramming or whatever, and I'm reading a story about how Kevin has reunited Ben out. Give him a little bit of the background between Ben and Kevin and why that relationship was maybe frayed.
Yeah, so this is a crazy, crazy story, and I still don't really believe it. Just to give some backstory, so Ben Affleck and Kevin Smith have falling out. There's not really an exact explanation as to what happened. I know that I've heard different stories. I know that Affleck got mad at Kevin Smith. I saw an interview recently where Kevin Smith mentioned that he would do these Q&As and he'd bring up stories that Affleck didn't want to talk about, things like that. So for 8 years, they hadn't spoken at all. Now, you guys were asking what they worked on together. They did, like, you know, Chasing Amy, Dogma, Clerks 2, not Clerks 1, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. So over the years, oddly enough, you guys are kind of the beginning of all this, oddly enough. So in 2007, Gone Baby Gone was premiering at Georgetown AMC Theaters. And when Ben Affleck walked up to me, I said, "Hi, I'm BDK from the Junkies, and I'm standing here live with Ben Affleck." And instead of saying writer and director of Gone Baby Gone, I'm like, "This is Shannon from The Fashionable Male," which is his character from Mallrats. Mm-hmm. And he was like blown away that I even knew what Mallrats was. So anyway, so every time I interview Affleck or Matt Damon over the years, I always bring up Kevin Smith, specifically Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. It's one of the best scenes ever when they spoofed Good Will Hunting. So anyways, fast forward to earlier this year, Kevin Smith is directing a Jay and Silent Bob reboot. So he's rebooting Jay and Silent Strike Back, the joke being that Jay and Silent Bob are going to Hollywood to stop the reboot from their movie being made. It's very inside. If you're not a Kevin Smith fan, I am a huge Kevin Smith fan, but that's the gist. So basically, I'm sitting down with Ben Affleck for Triple Frontier. Jason, remember that movie Triple Frontier on
Terrible
Netflix?
Terrible movie.
Should have been Single Frontier. Kind of hurt. Okay. Kind of nubs.
Wasted my life for 2 hours.
I know. Well, let me waste 5 more minutes of your life, and then I'll go. But basically, I walk in the room to interview Ben Affleck, and now keep in mind, during this time period, Kevin Smith is in the middle of production of shooting Jay and Silent Bob reboot. Now, Ben Affleck and him have not spoken in 8 years, meaning that Ben Affleck is not in the movie that he's making currently. So when I sat down with Affleck, I go, "Hey, any chance you're going to be in the reboot movie that Kevin Smith is doing?" He goes, "I don't know. They haven't called me, but I'm available." Whatever he said, something similar to those lines. So I put the video on YouTube. I had no intention of that even being anything. It was just a throwaway bit I bring every time I see him in an interview. So it wasn't anything abnormal.
Right,
for
but
me.
You tagged Kevin Smith or whatever, right? So he would see it.
No. no tagging, nothing. The video is on YouTube, just sitting there, and I did nothing with it in regards to Kevin Smith. So what ended up happening was, fast forward to April 26th, I'm in LA, I'm at the Avengers Endgame premiere, and I'm standing there looking for Chris Evans, who plays Captain America, because I want to get a photo with him because I have a Captain America jacket on. And Kevin Smith sees me. And now Kevin Smith, one of my favorite directors of all time. So I'm like, oh my God, I want to get a photo with him. I've met him before, but it's still Kevin Smith. It's like running into Quentin Tarantino again. It freaks me out. He looks at me and he goes, hey, can you come here for a second? I need to talk to you. I'm like, okay. So he pulls me aside. Now, meanwhile, this is the Avengers Endgame premiere. Every actor you could ever imagine is walking by. Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, Bradley Cooper. I mean, it is insane. Kevin Smith proceeds to tell me that because of an interview I did with Affleck that somehow got to his producers and then him, he picked up the phone and called Ben Affleck for the first time in 8 years. They spoke for, I guess, 2 hours. The phone conversation ended. He woke up the next morning, wrote an 8-page scene into the movie he was already making. And Ben Affleck flew into New Orleans on the last day of production to do the scene. And now he's in the movie because of that.
And now they're sort of friends again.
Yeah, so when I was standing there and Kevin Smith was telling me the story, now keep in mind, like, this is a guy I've been watching since I was in high school. So, like, what he's telling me, I'm trying to process because it's so insane to me to think that, like, oh... So Kevin Smith has, like, tears in his eyes. Like, he's, like, basically, he's like, you gave me my friend back. And I'm like, well, I didn't really do anything, man. I just threw out I was just, hey, man, you're going to be in the reboot movie. I mean, every single time I interview Affleck, I mention Kevin Smith. So it was just really just kind of a normal thing. And no, Eric, so keep in mind, that interview was done in early March. Now, this is in late April when Kevin Smith pulls me aside and tells me, I had no idea any of this happened. I didn't know it got to Kevin Smith. I didn't know that Kevin called Ben Affleck. So I had to. So basically, he tells me the story. I haven't even gotten to the best part yet. And he goes, yeah. So you. Next time you're in LA, I want you to watch the movie. I'm like, what? So he goes. Well, how do I get a hold of you? I said, well, you know, I don't know. I don't really have any people you can get a hold of. He goes, your phone. So he pulls my phone and calls himself, and you know, the movie. And so then I guess his number is now in my phone.
Right.
So we walk into the movie and it's insane. Like, we're walking in, he goes in with his daughter. His daughter, like, wants to get seated ASAP. I go sit down, and keep in mind, I'm like running into Josh Brolin. It was like the weirdest day you could ever imagine in your entire life. Like, Brolin giving me a huge hug. It was very, so I sit down for the movie. I walk out. I text him afterwards. Hey, man, thank you so much for what you said. I really appreciate it. You know, I'd love to take you up on your offer of watching the film. 2-3 weeks later, I'm in LA. He sends me his address and I go over to his house and I watched the film in his upstairs living room. It wasn't even like fully done yet. So I'm next to this guy who I didn't really know who he was. I guess he was a friend of Kevin Smith. And it's just me and him and sitting on this couch.
So you weren't at Kevin Smith's house. You were at his buddy's house.
No. I was at Kevin's house.
I was at Kevin Smith's house. Okay.
He had a buddy over who also wanted to watch the movie.
Right.
So I'm sitting there. The guy next to me, I didn't know this. Did not know Ben Affleck was in the movie. So remember, this is something that Affleck or Kevin Smith told me, you know, just because he goes, don't tell anybody, but this is, I want to let you know that you're the reason why he's in this movie. And I'm like, okay. I'm sitting there watching the film and the guy's looking at me and we're just talking. I don't think the guy has any idea why I'm sitting there. I thought, like, why is this random kid in Kevin Smith's house? And then all of a sudden the Affleck scene hits, and then Kevin comes upstairs after the movie's over and tells the guy next to me why I'm sitting here. And the reason being is that Affleck's in the movie because of that interview question, which is crazy. And then I had to hold that in, you know, I guess for what, 2.5 months, and now it's what, the end of July or mid July or whatever. And then he finally went out and said, so what's funny is after the movie was over, I went back to like his office area because I was flying out that day to go to London actually for a movie press junket. And I said, "Are you going to tell people he's in the movie?" And he goes, "I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm going to do that yet or not, because it's a big deal." And then, so when he put it in the trailer last week, I was shocked by that. I was shocked. I thought people were going to have to wait to see the movie to find out that Affleck was in it. So that post you saw, Eric, on Instagram, I had no idea that was coming. I had no idea that he was going to write a whole thing about it, put my name in it. I had no clue whatsoever. And now that's where I'm at. It's like a very, it sounds surreal to even say that out loud.
Why did Josh Brolin give you a hug at the other thing? What was going on there?
They're boys.
Brolin's one of the coolest guys on the planet. So him and I over the years, it sounds so name droppy, but this is just what's happening. It's so weird. But Brolin, we've done such fun interviews together that we started following each other on social media, and
he just likes
you. We talk like once a week on social media and just DM him back and forth. And so when I saw him, like, he ran up and gave me this gigantic hug, and then gave me another hug later on when he saw me in the theater. Now remember, he's playing Thanos.
That's weird.
Look who's Kevin's rubbing elbows
with.
And
I like the biggest of the big. I like Brolin a lot too. He's a really good actor.
Dude, crazy. Avengers Endgame, that movie just became the most successful film in the history of cinema. It is the biggest movie of all time. It just passed Avatar. But the Kevin Smith thing is just surreal.
Congratulations, buddy.
You're doing friendship bits on the highest
level. Look at you. Congratulations. Maybe we'll be friends again someday.
You guys had him on your show. I know you. I love you, Eric. But you guys had Kevin on your show for Clerks 2, and you guys let me come in there and ask him a question.
Don't remember that.
Probably you ask every question.
Don't remember that.
he probably told you to do the whole thing.
All right, yeah. Kevin. It's good talking to you. Enjoy London and enjoy your 90-hour flight to Honolulu. I'm sure it'll be fun.
All right, I love you guys.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Can you imagine
isn't that bizarre,
being in London
though?
And then flying to Hawaii?
No.
Somehow Kevin weaseled his way into Ben Affleck's life.
Yeah, it's what he does. All right, we barely scratched the surface on the EP.
I got more.
When we come back, we'll do more EP, and I might have to tell you my Netflix guilty pleasure from the weekend.
You have a new one that I got to see.
Well, it's not that new, but it's a new season.
It's a new season.
And it was pretty silly over the weekend. We'll have more next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
This week.
It's crazy.
It's here.
Training camp has started, or at least rookies or whatever reported around the league.
Yes.
Right?
Like at least three or four teams, the rookies are there, and basically all the teams, I believe, by Friday will be into training camp.
Right. Right.
Training camp mode.
All right, boys, let's get back into the EP. Let me see. A couple stories here. First of all, Eddie Murphy is back in the news. I saw clips of this. I don't know how, but I guess is there a whole new season of comedians in cars getting coffee with
Correct.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Yes.
And I believe Eddie is one of the comedians featured there. It looks like a great season. I'm going to have to check them all out. I think they're out now, right?
Seth Rogen, I believe, is in one episode. I think Martin Short in another.
Yeah,
pretty
out.
Big names.
Looks like you could binge it right away if you wanted to. But so Eddie's doing that, and apparently he's also close to a reported $70 million deal for a stand-up comeback.
Is that for one special?
Probably.
It's got to be multiple.
Probably multiple specials. But you know, Netflix, everybody has a freaking stand-up special.
Yeah,
They're trying to lure Eddie back. You know, I would have been very, very interested years ago, and I still will be.
I don't think he's that funny anymore.
But like when he did that thing for SNL, it just was awful. It was awkward.
Well, yeah, I mean, you would assume he would be better if it was a special.
Well, hasn't Eddie always said he hasn't done another stand-up because he doesn't think his material is good enough?
Well, then if I'm Eddie Murphy and they're giving me this sort of money, I'm going to hire an army I mean a freaking army of writers to make sure it's good. I'm not going to rely just on myself, right? Aren't you going to collaborate with a bunch of people, make sure it's good, or no? Drab's looking at me like I'm crazy.
I feel like that's cheating.
Why is that cheating?
I don't think comedians do that. At least not stand-up comedians.
Have people write their material?
Might be frowned upon.
I don't know. A lot of people write their material, certain comedians.
Isn't that a hack thing to do?
As long as you acknowledge it. Certainly for like shows.
Well, like for monologues and stuff like that.
No. I get that. But Chris Rock's Netflix special isn't written by somebody else.
No, but he might have guys that help punch up some of his jokes. Maybe not completely written by somebody else,
but I would have three or four people in the room with me. I'd be bouncing stuff off
them. Well, Eddie knows what's funny. He just has to just be himself. He just has to let his guard down.
Give $35 million to Chris Rock and let him write your stuff.
Right.
They have different voices. They have different thoughts. Anyway, I mean, who's kidding who? I'll be all in if this comes out.
You would watch it just to see if it stands up to, was it Raw from back in the day? That was his biggest classic.
Yeah, it's probably not going to hold up to that, but...
But if it comes close, it'd still be damn funny.
Seinfeld said, you know, him not doing stand-up is driving people crazy. You know, you got to come back, right?
Right.
And apparently Murphy admitted that he saw Don Rickles, like, shortly before his death.
Okay.
And Don was still pushing him to get back on stage. He says, I'm going to do it again. It's just everything has to be right.
Mm-hmm. He's busy with all that Shrek money. All that money from back in the 80s.
He knows he's got to go out. Got to go to clubs. Mm-hmm. He's got to work his act up. He can't just all of a sudden just show up on some stage and record a comedy special. You got to grind it out.
Right.
But he's definitely going to do it?
He says, I'm going to do it again. Just everything has to be right.
Does he talk about that in the
Yes, he does. And
Seinfeld interview?
I thought it was interesting. He says one of the things that's been holding him back is that he went out and he said a joke that it wasn't a bit that he was ready for. And they took it and made it the headline on the paper. He's like, you can't work things out anymore because it becomes a headline when really he was just working on the bit.
Right.
Right.
He's trying to punch it up.
It does make it difficult when you have that kind of fame.
Speaking of Netflix, this is the must watch for you this week or next week.
Okay.
Last Chance You, season 4.
You know, I've never seen that.
I mean, it is
so good.
What am
I doing?
You haven't seen the first three seasons?
Nope. What am I doing?
So riveting.
I've only seen two of
them. You know what?
You
don't have to go back to 1 and 2. What I recommended to Jason was do seasons 3 and 4,
yeah,
where they're at Independence Community College,
right,
in the middle of nowhere, Kansas.
Coach Jason Brown, he's a maniac.
Right? He is a full-on maniac, and I watched every episode in the span of like 2 or 3 days.
I'm glad.
Couldn't get enough.
That's something, actually, believe it or not, like my kids will watch with me. It's just fascinating,
yeah,
to see how he interacts with the player. I mean, the guy's a full-on maniac. There's part of me that thinks he does kind of mean well, but he's also just so full of himself.
Oh,
and
yeah.
His methods are just archaic. They're awful.
Yeah, what struck me about this season in particular, how many of these guys they think that they're automatically they're all going to the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're all have a ticket
they're
to the
NFL. They're in Independence, Kansas. They're bum F nowhere. Yeah,
they're in
a terrible community college.
They're in a way station. Yeah. Where they're basically just trying to get back on the D1 level, yet they all are making that next jump to being in the pros, where they're just lucky to get D1 scholarships at this point,
right?
For whatever reason.
All right, so you're saying watch seasons 3 and 4.
I would watch seasons 3 and 4.
Yeah,
because the first two seasons are about, I think it's East Mississippi,
right?
Junior
totally
college.
Different, totally different.
Right, this different is different.
Go to 3 and 4.
Yeah, watch season 3 first,
you will love
and then jump into
it.
4.
Oh, no, I
definitely don't watch 4 before you watch 3. Watch 3 first.
Watch 3,
yeah.
I think that's their, at least might be their last football one, because they tweeted this weekend, what sport do you want us to cover on Last Chance U?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to do some sort of basketball outpost?
I think that might be where they're heading.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to cover Goff.
Oh.
When is Ozark season 4?
I don't know.
Season 4 or season 3?
I can't remember.
I think it's season 3, maybe?
I keep waiting for that. I know they started filming, I think, maybe back in December or something.
Okay.
They certainly have indicated that there is going to be a season.
Yeah, I'd heard that, but I just want to know when.
I'm dying to see it. And then John DePompa just hit me up. I don't know if he was kidding or not. And I guess CK confirmed it via Twitter that there is an Edward Wayne Edwards. Do you guys know about this? The guy, remember we had that cop on that he claimed that Edward Wayne Edwards was like this serial killer that killed everybody, that killed Lacey Peterson, that killed What was the big one that we
were making the murder?
The making of murder. Yeah,
Teresa Halbach.
Killed Teresa Halbach. He's a guy who got off on committing murders and framing other people.
Right.
And supposedly, I don't know if it's a Netflix special or something, according to the Pampa, and maybe CK's seen it, there is a documentary about him out there.
He's getting attention dollars on NBC Sports Washington
John
right
DePapa
now.
John DePapa is right now? His Twitter account?
Yeah. He loves it.
What's it called?
I don't know. Did he say it was a Netflix? Did it say it was a Netflix documentary?
I thought he said it was a podcast.
Oh, it's a podcast. Oh, that'll be good. If it's anything like Serial, which is a great podcast. All right, Jason, you'll be fascinated by this. Tiger, Rory, Jason Day, and Hideki will take part in a skins game in Japan October 21st. One-day competition will take place a few days prior to the Zozo Championship, which was recently added to the PGA Tour. Remember, the skins game used to be awesome. They used to have that all the time, maybe in the 90s, mm-hmm. maybe the early 2000s. Let me see. Woods has previously played in a skins event 7 different times, but never has won one. Of course, he's coming off a miscut at the British Open, but he's not going to miss that potential payday.
I'm sure he's not.
Tiger, Rory, Jason Day, and Hideki Matsuyama all be performing.
I don't get into that. I never did.
Oh, I like the skins games.
Just because it's October and, you know, I'm just all in on football.
It's just a made-for-TV.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll check it
cash
out.
Cash grab.
Are they are we going to do another The Match? What's the are we going to do that again? What was that, Thanksgiving?
Yep.
When was it the Friday after Thanksgiving?
I believe so, yeah.
It's getting a little late. We haven't heard any talk about it.
It's not even August.
Yeah, but like in terms of preparation, they can't just do that in a few weeks. If there's going to be a match two.
I don't think anybody cares after match one.
Right. You thought it was such a dud?
I didn't see it. I refused to pay for it.
It was such a dud.
It was awkward, but I still liked it.
But the golf, the golf wasn't very good, was it?
It wasn't. They only made like 2 birdies.
Yeah, my Tuesday game makes more birdies.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Okay, but give them their first... Did they learn?
I'll watch it if it's free, but I'm not going to pay for it.
It was $10.
Yeah, this is too
much. They ended up giving it to everyone for free.
Yeah, because remember there were problems.
Oh, they did? I thought you guys paid for it.
They had problems with it. I think I did, but then they ended up giving people their money back because the system was crashing, or it was just giving it to people for free online. Remember, people were just going on the website, and it was just showing the match for free. It was a big disaster.
Two guys are over the hill. I can barely walk up and down the golf course.
Yeah, it's just interesting,
one guy has
though.
To lose 20 pounds. The other guy's got back problems.
Sure, it's fun to watch.
I would watch it.
I know you would.
I mean, it doesn't mean anything. It means nothing, but it's just entertainment. Well, it's like going to a movie.
With Tiger versus Brooks would be interesting.
Well, neither of those guys talk.
Well, Brooks
would eat him alive.
Brooks would smoke him.
Brooks' personality sucks worse than Tiger's.
I know, but it's about the matchup. You want the legend versus the hot
young
guy.
Well, the idea was that there was going to be trash talk, and that sort of thing, which really didn't happen.
And there wasn't, right?
There really wasn't. It was awkward, and those guys can't carry it alone. But it was interesting, I thought, still.
Well, you need like people that hate each other, too. Like if you had like a Spieth versus Reed type thing.
No, I don't think they hate each other.
No one's buying that.
Someone really hates them.
That sells zero tickets.
You got to have Tiger. Even though Tiger's personality does stink, you got to have Tiger involved.
Right.
Well, no, you have multiple. You have multiple
matches.
Yeah.
And the little.
So that way there's no downtime between shots.
Right.
That was part of the problem with Bleacher Report. Then you put Barkley against another terrible golfer, and he probably has like $500,000 on the match.
Right.
Put the money on the putting green.
The problem is they tried to have Tiger and Phil carry it with their banter, and A, there was no banter, and B, the banter was awful.
Right, so it was a big dud.
But it's still interesting to see them for 4 hours and just kind of handle themselves. I could watch, I don't know about you, I could watch Tiger and Phil talk to their caddies and just go about their round. That's all I need.
I could not.
Discuss their shot, what they're looking. That's all I need. I didn't need all the extra
crap. You mean
crap.
In a real tournament.
Or even in that.
Yeah, but
it didn't matter.
They don't really care.
Well, they're still trying to hit good shots.
No, I understand, but they're not even putting their own money up. If they're putting their own money up, that's
agreed,
a little different.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Agreed, but still, I could watch them in a practice round. Tiger and his caddy, Phil and their caddies, discussing their shots.
No, the biggest...
That's awesome.
The biggest ratings grab would be... two-page Spearnax, you know, wearing tight clothes.
They got to get Paige involved.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Have her jugs out there.
Anything to work jugs into the conversation. I see how your brain works, Valdez. When we come back, we will dive into the Redskins. How concerned are you about the Brandon Scherff looming contract situation? We'll touch on that next here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Minutes to get your tickets as soon as possible. Mentioned before the break, Brandon Scherff is heading into the last year of his deal. And apparently the two sides are pretty far apart at this point as far as a contract extension. So are you worried about the Redskins not being able to retain Brandon Scherff going forward after the season with another huge question mark in Trent Williams, your left tackle? So you can't afford to lose both
your best,
Trent
your best and two linemen.
Your best two linemen now are both in
want
flux.
New contracts.
Trent Williams, if you believe the reports, no longer wants to play for the Redskins, or is just using it as a power play to leverage it for more money. And now Brandon Scherff, the guy who's been to two Pro Bowls, on the interior of your line, one of your best offensive linemen. Apparently, the sides are far apart. Now, that can be bridged at some point, hopefully, and you come to a common number that works for both parties.
Right.
But as of right now, the Scherff camp's here, and the Skins camp is over here.
Yeah, I think
it's bridge just, that gap.
I just think that's negotiation 101.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I just assume that they're going to get their deals done, and they won't miss much time, if any. And they'll be starting in week one for the Skins.
But I don't understand about his deal.
If they don't, then that's obviously a huge problem.
He's making he's slated to make $12.5 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
Why did that number go up so high after his first 4 years of his deal?
That's just how it works. I don't know anything about the contract.
It all gets dumped into the last year of the rookie deal.
Maybe.
Like your last year number is high, whereas your first few years were
a little more manageable.
Spread out.
Is this year five?
He's in year five.
That's amazing.
He's a rookie in 2015.
It's amazing. He's already been in the league for almost 5 years.
Yeah.
And if you look at... I just assume they're going to get something done.
See, here's the thing.
The Redskins can't afford to lose Trent and Scherff.
You wouldn't think.
He wants something in the neighborhood of what Zach Martin got. Zach got 6 years, $84 million,
yeah, so
40 guaranteed.
14 per season,
yeah, well,
somewhere in that neighborhood.
You got a rookie quarterback going forward. You know, maybe not in the first few weeks, but you got to protect him.
Right.
So you got to have your veterans, your
but
good players.
But we don't anticipate Scherff holding out over this one, right?
I don't. Yeah.
So, and then it just, I mean, look, eventually they're going to have to work it out.
That's what I mean.
Eventually they're going to have to work it out.
They'll get something
done. I think there's time.
Sure.
And I think they'll pay him, too.
Trent might be a little bit
Trent's
more serious.
A different story.
I still don't think Trent's going to miss game checks.
No, I absolutely think.
But,
he's going to do whatever he can to miss training camp. Because let's be honest, what he's been at training camp in the past, he's never a full participant.
Mm-hmm.
He rarely plays in preseason games. He might play for a series or two. He's a guy that you've always had to kind of manage being out on the field because of injuries. He's a guy who's 6'6", about 315.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to take its toll on his body.
You've
seen it over the years.
Adrian Peterson, when Adrian says he hasn't spoken to Trent, and he hasn't spoken to him about it, and he has no idea, essentially, if he'll be there for training camp. Do you believe it? Because I thought AP and Trent were tight.
Yeah, I believe that.
Do you believe it when AP says, I haven't really talked to him?
I believe Trent is planning on not showing up until something's done.
But
yeah,
do you
believe
AP when AP says, I haven't talked to him and I just don't know?
Maybe. I mean, don't
maybe he just wants to avoid it. I don't know.
Aren't they partners in a gym somewhere like back in Texas?
Doesn't mean they necessarily talk a lot, but I thought they were close. That was my point.
With the recent things that have come to light for Adrian Peterson defaulting on a loan, the last person I'd want to be in business with is Adrian Peterson. If I'm Trent Williams,
yeah, good point.
I'm going to try to distance myself from going into business ventures with AP as much as I can going forward.
Are Skins fans worried about this? Williams and Scherff, do Skins fans feel like you're not going to see those guys in camp? I don't believe that. Scherff's going to be there.
I don't think there's growing concern.
Trent, all right, different story, but like Cake says, Trent doesn't even need to be there.
Right.
Now, if he's not there week one, oh, yeah, you've got issues.
Because there's no threat of holdout, at least that we know of. When there's no threat of holdout, I don't think fans are really too concerned about when or how much money Brandon Scherff's going to get. The reason why they're concerned about Trent is A, he's their best player, and B, he's threatening to hold out. Right. He's threatening, if you believe some reports, to never play for them again.
Correct.
800-636-1067 is the number. Are you concerned, one, about Trent Williams, and two, about Brandon Scherff and the contract negotiations that are ongoing where there's a chasm right now between the team and his representatives?
You could be looking at an Anthony Rendon situation with Scherff right now.
Yeah, I mean, he could just get the free agency and
just
walk,
roll out
with no compensation whatsoever.
We could be getting to that point.
He could, you're right.
Or are they going to franchise him? Are they going to do that bit?
They could do that.
Franchise, which is probably what they'll do, some sort of tag.
Yeah, and then you get to the average of the top five at his position. And as you mentioned, Zach Martin's at the top of that heap, making $14 million a season.
I'm not that worried about Scherff and when he gets his money. Because eventually he's going to get paid.
Correct.
I'm just not that worried.
He's not going to miss time. Trent, different story. But fans can't worry about that.
I can't. Plus, he's a guard.
Fans have no control over it. You just got to hope that the Skins make the right decisions. Usually they don't.
I can't get all worked up about a guard.
But I think that they'll get he'll get paid.
Hard enough to worry about a tackle. I'm not getting worked up about a frigging guard. So just happening.
No, but I mean, when you have a rookie quarterback, you need the best line in front of him.
That rookie quarterback, I have no idea when he's going to play, but I don't think it's going to be early.
Probably not.
I think even AP said this weekend.
But
was
when he does
play, saying,
you don't want, you know, Tyler Catalina.
No, you're right. I think AP even said this weekend that Case seems to have the edge.
He did.
For the starting
job. I have his quotes right here. Quote, with Case Keenum, the quarterback runs everything, right? Offensively, we look really good with Case Keenum back there. He's a vet. He's been in the league for a long time. He's a gunslinger. He's a guy that's going to throw the ball and spread it around. He wasn't as glowing with his review of Haskins.
What did he say?
He said, having Haskins back there, too, I'm looking forward to seeing what he'll do in training camp. Once he gets more under his belt and becomes more comfortable, he'll be able to play faster as well. So, I mean, it's nothing earth-shattering.
Well,
the guy who's been in the league for a while is ahead of a rookie who has 11 games of college experience. Case Keenum, even though he's limited talent-wise, should be ahead of Haskins developmentally at this point.
Right.
Right.
But aren't you of the camp that
he still thinks Haskins should start?
I would still start Haskins because I think the upside, the ceiling for him,
he could be a complete disaster, though.
He could be.
They are still trying to win games.
I understand. Look,
I don't think that this season's only to try and develop Haskins. I mean, they're trying to win games.
Yeah, I think you got to try to win games. Win as many as you can every year.
That's what I mean.
I don't like this.
They're still, even though we don't think they're a playoff team, they think they are.
Well somebody just had him at 3-13. Who did we read about? That just had him, or I think Rick Snyder tweeted something. Does Vegas have? Somewhere he saw a number for the Redskins projected at 3-13, which he thought was outrageous.
Right.
Well, the season win totals, I haven't seen Vegas put out one at 3.5 or 4.
The highest I've seen is 6.5.
Yeah, they're in between that 5.5 to 6.5 range.
Right.
So, you know, Vegas thinks they'll be in that 5-11, 6-10 range.
Right.
Maybe 7-9.
Let's go to Victor. Victor, what's up? You're all with the Junks.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing, man?
It's all right.
Now, I know you guys are probably going to think this is ridiculous, but this is my opinion, man. We need to go ahead and cut Trent, move on from Trent, man. Just move on. Let him go wherever he wants to go. He's injured all the time. We have a brand new quarterback who's going to need protection a year from now. And let Jordan Reed go. Let those guys go. They only play half the season anyway. And he's calling for money. Let him go. We're trying to move on to the future, man.
They're assets. You don't just do that. You don't just get rid of assets that way. I mean, maybe you.
Okay.
But you
don't give him his money. Don't give him his money. He'll leave anyway. My thing is, find somebody else who can do the job. Somebody else can do the job if we give him a chance. There's somebody else out there.
Well,
we draft every year.
Yeah, but I mean, the guy that drafted behind him, Christian, you think he's as good as Trent?
No, certainly not.
He's been a disaster so far.
We talk about Trent missing a ton of games. In the last 3 years, he's played 12, 10, and 13.
Right.
He's missed a few, but you'd rather have 10 games of Trent Williams than
Christian for 16?
Right. Absolutely.
Well, so you've had him, miss about 13? Is that the number? 10 is 6, and then 12 is a 4, and then 13, 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's missed.
About 13.
Yeah. 13 over the last three.
We talk about him missing a ton of games. He's never played less than 10 games in a season. Now, he's going to miss five or six in some seasons, but he's a Pro Bowl left tackle for you for two-thirds of your season, basically every year.
Yeah, but five or six, that's a big number.
Okay, it hurts, but wouldn't you rather have Trent out there than Jerron Christian or some other?
I agree.
Or God forbid, who's the dude they brought in from Jacksonville? Eric Flowers, yeah. Can't have him play.
I totally agree with you. And I think they'll get something done.
Go quickly to Evan Richmond. Quickly, Evan.
Hey, good morning, guys. I am not worried about Sheriff. I think that deal will easily get done by training camp. Mm-hmm. I am getting a little bit worried with this Trent stuff and completely disagree with what that last caller said. He is not easily replaceable, and yeah. I'm also really upset that they got rid of Ty Ensecki. I think that's going to prove to be a huge loss in those couple of games where maybe Moses or Trent are hurt.
Definitely depth. And, definitely.
One more thing. Atlas 42 is totally nubs, and the graduate is silly. Have a good one, boys.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Evan.
Come on, you're supposed to hype up our spot in Richmond.
Rooftop bar at the graduate.
That's right.
Can't wait. Looking for that.
Junks will be in Richmond next week for Skins training camp. We'll see how some of these storylines play out with Sheriff and his contract. Will Trent Williams show
up? The Trent story is going to be the story.
And more. Don't forget, next hour we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Nats Dodgers. When we come back, we'll talk about Tyreek Hill and why he was not suspended by the NFL.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.